As you may know, I used to go to Turkey to report on the human rights going on in the southeast. And usually I was dealing with the Christians, but one time in particular I met some Yazidis. You may never have met any Yazidis. The Yazidis are a people you find in northern Mesopotamia. They are a people despised by the majority. If you're seen in the street as a Yazidi, people will spit at you. They will kick you. They will abuse you. If you manage to set up a business, people will boycott you. The Yazidis traditionally have been employed by the majority as robbers. Criminals use them because nobody else will employ them. And over the last 30 years, all the Yazidis have left that part of Turkey. The Samaritans in the days of Jesus were seen like that by other Jews. They were disgusting, filth, dogs. And today's gospel reflects that. So when Jesus arrives in the town of Sychar, this Samaritan town, he breaks one taboo after another. He not only talks to a Samaritan, but to a woman. And in conversation with Jesus, she discerns who he really is. And she goes out, and the whole town believes her words, "This is truly the Savior of the world." Jesus begins the story by asking for water. And then he talks about himself, about being a source of living water, life-giving water. Jesus and the woman have something in common. They are there to produce some sort of water so that people may drink. The woman, by her faith and her actions, takes on that Jesus is the life-giver. And we are called today to be like her, to listen to Jesus, to grasp that what he offers is a new vitality, and to bring that vitality to the community is what she does. But the community to which she brought Jesus and his message is a very special one. It is the lowest of the low. It is the dirt, it is filth, it is the dogs. Now, I imagine that when you go home, you're all going to Google Samaritans, and you might get those wonderful people who help people when they're in desperate circumstances, and then, of course, go back and find, well, what about the real historical people? In the Old Testament, there is a narrative about them, and the narrative is, well, quite an interesting one. We have to remember that lots of people think about the Old Testament that either it's history or it's lots of nice old stories. Well, actually, it's much more than that. It is very often a nationalist narrative. It is saying how special the people of Israel are, and of course that means how unspecial everybody else is. Nationalist narratives, and I come from nationalist North Wales, so I know about nationalist narratives. Nationalist narratives frequently sit very lightly on fact or history. They are usually designed to denigrate others. One of the sources of the First World War was nationalism across Europe. It is very destructive. The Old Testament description of the Samaritans is a nationalist narrative written by the elite who came back from exile from Babylon. And the elite look at these people, these country people, and denigrate them. They say these are a bunch of foreigners who have adopted odd ways and odd practices and odd traditions. They're not the real Jews like we are, they wrote. It's actually probable that the Samaritans are the real descendants of the 10 northern tribes of the Israelites who were never deported, they just stayed there. And just as the word Welsh is an English word meaning foreigner, so the Samaritans were considered by the elite as being foreign, not part of us, aliens. And Jesus, in this story, challenges everything that narrative encourages. So at one level, you could say, well, this is a story about breaking down racial barriers. Any consideration of God can have no understanding that one race or one people is special in his sight. It could be about sex, about men and women, because it is a woman, after all, who brings the gospel to these people in Sychar. I don't need to say anything at St. Mary's about the need to be an inclusive church. And so we need to look at this woman. She has this really complicated conversation with Jesus. All of these conversations in St. John's Gospel are there to baffle you. They are there to confuse you, to leave you wondering what on earth was that really about. And of course, there are more questions at the end of it than there are answers. But the important thing is that she believes that Jesus is the source of life or the saviour of the world, the one who has living water. And she goes out and she leads others to the same faith. We have come here, all of us, I hope, to meet Jesus. That's what worship is about. And sometimes our worship can be as complex and as baffling as this narrative. What was that all about? Why do we come to church? But we still meet Jesus, this mysterious man. But then, having met him, do we go out to the community and say, there is someone very special here? I often use the example I was taught a few years ago, that if every one of you, over a year, brought a new person to church and they became regular, and then the next year did the same thing, in 4 years' time you'd have to build a new church. It's to do with arithmetic. I was never very good at that. But that's what would happen. 4 years, you'd have to build a new church. This woman goes out and starts the Samaritan church. But that is not all. Jesus, in this, comes to challenge us. He challenged there the racism of Israel, the sexism of men, the narrowness of our own understanding of God and what it means to be human. In a world where violence and force are so often the way in which things are done, Jesus comes without violence, without force, as the victim to remind us that his ways of challenging our wickedness are by peace and rejecting violence. I have come, says Jesus elsewhere, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. The life-giving water that he talks about to the woman, the life-giving message. They are ours to share, not to keep. It's not just the life which Christ gives, but he gives us the news. And we know that news cannot just stay inside us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.